Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Thank you. Good evening, rich people. I gotta be honest, I feel like I'm at a casting call for Daddy Warbucks. And I'm not gonna get the job. Welcome, Your Eminence, President Trump, First Lady, random millionaires who are not yet billionaires.
Jim Gaffigan at the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Dinner. I like Jim Gaffigan. I wish Jim Gaffigan, you know, for being a Catholic who has five kids, he sure does talk bad about families. I wish my wife had to say, you know, she doesn't really like Jim Gaffigan because he's always complaining about having kids and talking about the negatives of having a family, which is kind of disappointing, right? There was a trend that way for a long time in the, you know, 90s when he kind of grew to more popularity. The guy is funny. I like him. I wish he would use his comedy more for good than he did. But I actually thought he did a fairly good job hosting the dinner. You know, it's basically a roast. Okay, it's a nice roast. They roast anybody except Catholics, which is kind of, you know, there's a lot of things you could roast there. They didn't really roast Catholics, but, you know, it's their dinner, so I guess they can do what they want.
Now, I understand some of you may recognize me as the guy who plays Tim Walz on SNL. But I want you to know that I'm going to be fair and balanced tonight, and I'm going to make jokes about both Donald Trump and J.D. Vance.
And, of course, the big fact, if you want to call it a fact, I mean, it's simply true, but the big fact worth mentioning is that of the two presidential candidates, only one of them showed up at the dinner. Only Trump appeared and did, you know what, I put it away, I didn't measure, but 25 minutes, I think. He went quite a while. Kamala Harris, for her part, only was there with the assistance of Molly Shannon and didn't really tell jokes, just was awkward and unfunny for a pre-recorded send-in message, which was, well.
Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't address the elephant in the room. You know, you're all thinking about it. Let me just cut to the point and point out who's not here. And of course, I'm talking about the middle class. That filthy group of people. Right, Chuck? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Chuck Schumer, obviously. And yes, it's a room full of wealthy, influential people.
I don't know about you. I think this is exciting. This is very exciting, right? We are 19 days until the election and likely a civil war. And, you know, I'm nervous. You know what I mean? It's like, this is my first civil war, guys. I don't own a musket. Have we decided who's wearing blue and who's wearing gray? Because I look better in blue because of my eyes, you know?
You got to, that's pretty funny. I mean, and again, you know, I think he is. So, you know, he talked about the church just a little bit, and he did talk about the fact that Kamala Harris was not there and asked, I thought, very fair questions.
You know, this event has been referred to as the Catholic Met Gala. 22% of Americans identify as Catholic. Catholics will be a key demographic in every battleground state. I'm sorry, why is Vice President Harris not here?
It They're ooing because that's on target, right? That's the whole point. Why wouldn't she show up? It's an easy one for her to show up to.
I mean, consider this. This is a room full of Catholics and Jews in New York City. This is a layup for the Democratic nominee.
You would think. Yeah, you would definitely think. So can I give you my theory? My theory about why Kamala Harris didn't show up? If you're a Kamala Harris supporter, you will not like this theory. But hear me out. Okay, you can show up. I mean, she'll go on Fox News, so give her credit. She'll go at least at times where, you know, she's not wanted, right? Just like I always thought it was, I will continue to say, as long as it ever comes up, I give great credit to Barack Obama for going to speak about abortion at Notre Dame. That was good for him. I mean, he was completely wrong, but good for him. Talking to the enemy, talking to the people who disagree with you, right? So why wouldn't she show up at a dinner where she has the possibility of courting or wooing Catholic voters, especially when Trump is there? And when she knows she's going to get criticized for not being there, she can make Trump, you know, she can make time to go on Stern and on Colbert and on The View and on the, what is it, Who's Your Daddy? Is that the name of the podcast? And, you know, with Charlemagne the God. And I mean, she's everywhere except at the Alfred E. Smith dinner. Why? And let me play you a clip and then I'll give you my theory. Okay. So she's got Molly Shannon to help her with the video, right? Molly Shannon is going to be the one who's going to hold her hand while she starts off giving a sincere message about the Alfred Smith dinner.
Your Eminence and distinguished guests, the Al Smith dinner provides a rare opportunity to set aside partisanship.
Cool. Oh, sorry.
Hey, what's going on? Who was that?
Oh, sorry, Mary Catherine Gallagher. Mary Catherine Gallagher, it's so nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Mary Catherine. Right now I'm trying to record my speech for tonight's dinner.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just want to say that I'm Catholic, and tonight is one of the biggest dinners next to the Last Supper.
It is a very important dinner, and it's an important tradition that I'm so proud to be a part of.
Sometimes when I get nervous, I stick my fingers under my arms, and I simmer them like that. But that's gross.
Also, not funny, but... okay, Molly Shannon's trying, right? Okay, they continue.
Is there anything that you think that maybe I shouldn't bring up tonight?
Well, don't lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor.
By the way, it's against thy neighbor. Just, I mean, if you're going to play the character, get the quote right, but okay, fine.
Thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor.
Indeed, especially thy neighbor's election results.
Just so you know, there will be a fact checker there tonight.
Oh, that's great. Who?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe don't say anything negative about Catholics.
I would never do that, no matter where I was. That would be like criticizing Detroit in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know why she didn't go to the my theory why she didn't go to the Alfred E. Smith dinner? Because she's not funny. And it's bad enough to not be there. And it's bad enough to send in a video that's not funny. And it's bad enough to get lit up by President Trump again and again and again and again for not being there. I actually thought he mentioned it too many times, frankly. But it would have been worse if she'd have gone and been devastatingly unfunny. And I'll tell you my theory about Kamala Harris that I never thought of except for this. I think she knows how to laugh at things, but you know how she kind of laughs at things when it's a little bit like not maybe the right moment to always laugh? I think maybe she doesn't have a sense of humor. No, some people don't have a sense of humor. It's not a deal breaker, but it's weird for people to not have any sense of humor. You know who was one of the best Alfred E. Smith speakers ever? I mean, Barack Obama. And at the White House correspondent, Barack Obama slays. I mean, he's funny. Biden has been funny. Trump was like, I mean, you know, he's no professional comedian. Trump had his moments. I'll play some of the clips later. But if this video is evidence that her handlers thought, A, oh God, she can't make jokes, and B, the only, because even when they gave her a joke to make, it wasn't funny. It was just sort of on target, you know, the clip about Detroit. I mean, That's appropriate. He said that in Detroit, right? But it's not funny. Nobody laughed. So my theory is that they knew she can't be funny, she can't make jokes, and if we send her, it's going to be a disaster. The best we can do is get Molly Shannon in here to hold her hand, comedically, and maybe nobody will notice that she doesn't have a sense of humor. Maybe she's sweet, maybe she's kind, maybe she laughs. It's weird for somebody who laughs a lot to not have a sense of humor, but maybe she just can't tell jokes, and they knew that it would be bad. I don't have a better explanation. Do you have a better explanation why she would ignore Catholic voters? Why she would not show up at this thing? That's my theory. What's your theory? 437-1620. Now, I know it would be inappropriate of me to go the whole time without talking about any of the things that Trump said. A lot. I must have pulled like 30 clips from Trump. Okay. He talked about Mayor Eric Adams, who's under indictment now for... you know, basically selling influence.
It's about time. Mayor Adams, good luck with everything. They went after you. They went after you, Mayor. Yeah, boy, I knew that. 9.5 months ago, I said, you know, he just said something about it, about the administration. He's going to be indicted any moment. And guess what happened? But you're going to win. I think you're going to win. I know you're going to win. So good luck. Good luck. I don't like what they do. I don't like what they do.
And then he turned that into, he had lots of good moments. I mean, you know, hopefully you talk for 30 minutes almost, you'd have a few good moments. He had a lot of them.
It's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance. Anytime I don't get a subpoena, I'm very happy. They've gone after me, Mr. Mayor. You're peanuts compared to what they've done to me. And you're going to be okay.
Just happy to be in New York City without a subpoena. I mean, that's pretty good. Now, I don't know how many of these jokes he wrote himself. I got to assume not many. Which, the other, like, think of it this way. If Kamala Harris, if I'm right, okay, and it might just be that she didn't think it was worth doing. That's possible, okay? But, she's got all these celebrities, Kimmel, Colbert, Fallon. She can get the staff of all of SNL. Or look at the SNL opening sketch from Saturday. All making fun of Bret Baier, all making fun of Trump, barely making fun of Kamala Harris for being too cool in the viral moments. That was the only, they didn't make fun of her for being long-winded, boring, or giving rambling non-answers. They made fun of, Bret Baier for interrupting her. They kept making fun of Bret Baier for interrupting her. And they refused to make fun of her for being incoherent and rambling, which was an interesting choice, you know, for refusing to answer the questions, right? That's a choice, okay? So she has all kinds of comedians who can help her. But apparently they didn't think... My theory is they didn't think she was up for it.
It's been a long tradition for both Democrat and Republican candidates for president of the United States to attend this dinner. They're always, it's a rule. You got to go to the dinner. You got to do it. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen to you from up there. You can't do what I just saw on that screen. But my opponent feels like she does not have to be here, which is deeply disrespectful to the event and in particular to our great Catholic community. Very disrespectful.
And she did give a sort of a sincere, you know, praise of the Catholic community in her speech. But again, the point is the jokes. The point is the jokes, man.
The last Democrat not to attend this important event was Walter Mondale, and it did not go very well for him. He lost 49 states, and he won one, Minnesota. So I said, there's no way I'm missing it. Actually, it was not easy for me to get here tonight. Cardinal, I wasn't going to miss this thing. You know, matter, I didn't care. I wasn't going to miss it. But that's true. Walter Mondale, 49-1. He was expected to do well. And it didn't work out. It shows you there is a God. I mean, for those people that are questioning it.
And one last on this subject from him, just because I thought this was funny.
I understand the real reason that she's not here is she's hunting with her running mate, spending a lot of time hunting.
Or fumbling with the gun, you know, whatever you think the actual activity is. So, yeah, I think it made her look very, very bad. But again, what's the goal of the Harris campaign? It's much like the goal of the Biden campaign before, is whatever we do, even if it looks bad, it's always meant to avoid making him look worse. Why don't we put Biden out on the campaign trail a lot? All we got to do is let people hate Trump and hide him long enough to get him elected. They couldn't hide him past the debate this time, and so they got her. What's their goal with her? Oh, man. Oh, man. What do we need to do? Don't let her tell jokes. Don't let her try to tell jokes. Don't put her anywhere near a place where she's going to be expected to be funny. Just let her brag about the Glock she hasn't shot in 20 years, and she'll be fine. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, did you see CBS has now come out with a statement about the 60 Minutes interview? They said, well, we edit people all the time for, you know, to be concise, and because there's only so much time that you can play. And Trump didn't even show up, so that's basically their statement. Well, people, if you didn't edit her for content and didn't make her look better than she looks, which we know for a fact you did because we've seen the comparison clips, why not release the raw video to prove that you didn't substantially edit her in any way that's meaningful beyond the ones we already know where you substantially edited her in ways that are meaningful? That would seem to be the proof that you didn't interfere with the content and put your finger on the scale to make a candidate look better than she really is by editing her for her benefit, as you would never have done for Trump. Then you could just release the unedited video and then we could all see for ourselves. Wow, weird. 2.5 weeks before the election, well, now 2 in a day, and still not doing that. It's interesting choices. 526, I'm Andrew McKay.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard. That's right, Bobby Likas Auto Service now has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. So keep your vehicles running smooth with their maintenance service program, and when your car or truck needs repairs, big or small, bring it to either location. Engine repairs, brake work, transmissions, air conditioning, power steering, and more. They can take care of it. Keep your vehicle on the road with the help of Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and also on Pensacola Boulevard. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Join Foo Foo Fest today on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Guests will be Dr. Kenneth Phillips, Department Head of Performing Arts at Pensacola State College, Charlie Smoke with the Choral Society of Pensacola, and Timothy Brooks with the Wide Angle Photo Club. Get all the details and make your Foo Foo plans by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Foo Foo Fest begins October 31st in downtown Pensacola.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Book 'em, Dano.
These are the things that drive me crazy. These are the things that make Good morning, 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, several people are reported dead after a helicopter crashed into a radio tower in Texas last night. Firefighters responded to that about 8 p.m. after receiving reports of the crash. Authorities say a private helicopter had taken off from Ellington Field shortly before the crash happened. There were no injuries on the ground, but everybody on the helicopter passed away. Former President Trump worked a McDonald's drive-thru yesterday. Apparently, he used the opportunity to question Kamala Harris's claim that she'd worked at McDonald's in college. He spent some time working the fry machine and then handing the bags out of the drive-thru window to some very surprised McDonald's patrons.
I saw the photos and it just looked funny. It was an odd thing, you know, but okay.
It's, I guess, a great photo op, though.
He got coverage. He got
earned
media.
Did you see the line of people that were waiting outside of the McDonald's once they heard about it?
Oh, no, I'm sure it's huge.
Oh, miles
it
long.
It was huge.
Yes.
You've never seen a greater line at a McDonald's to wait for fries.
There's still a run on the fries. The best fries.
They're the best fries. Yeah. They're the best ever.
Extra salt. That was the key.
You think if people had gotten fries there that they would actually eat them, or would they try to like certify them Trump fresh and sell them?
$1 million a fry on eBay.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Israeli airstrikes hit bank branches in Lebanon.
The Israeli military says it was targeting bank branches used by Iran-backed militants Hezbollah. According to the U.S. government, Akka Bank serves as a critical financial network for the group. It was sanctioned by the Treasury in 2007. The strikes followed short-notice evacuation orders for residents.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Pennsylvania's governor says billionaire Elon Musk giving away $1 million a day to registered voters signing his pro-Trump Political Action Committee's petition is deeply disturbing.
Governor Josh Shapiro telling NBC's Meet the Press said it may be illegal.
I think it raises serious questions that folks may want to take a look at.
Some legal experts have suggested Musk is not violating any law since the money is being awarded for simply signing a petition, not in exchange for a vote.
Fox's Sue Guzman. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 56 degrees, clear skies this morning in Pensacola. A 60-year-old Gulf Breeze woman has died after a car crash on Highway 98 at Reserve Boulevard on Sunday. The Florida Highway Patrol says the woman pulled out in front of a pickup truck as she was crossing 98. She was airlifted to a hospital where she later died. The driver of the pickup truck, a Crestview woman, and two kids who were passengers were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. A man was shot during a fight on Sunday in Escambia County. The sheriff's office says the victim was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The suspect was reportedly still at the scene when deputies arrived and was taken into custody. A jet ski crash near Pensacola Beach sent a person to the hospital over the weekend. That happened at about 6:30 on Saturday. The watercraft reportedly struck the Bob Sykes Bridge. The rider had to be airlifted to the hospital under a trauma alert. Right now, there's no word on their current condition. The Pensacola City Council is expected to award funding for new stormwater projects today. The $11.2 million will come from state and federal grants. It'll be used to repair rail beds and roads that became eroded from Hurricane Sally in 2020.
These funds that we're about to accept next week will allow us to begin repairs on those.
That is Port of Pensacola Director Clark Merritt, and the funding will also be used to improve stormwater drainage along 9th Avenue between Romana and Bayfront Parkway. The council meeting set for 3:30 this afternoon. Next year's Hangout Fest in Gulf Shores is going to be very, very different for 2025. The rock and hip-hop lineup is going country. Morgan Wallen and the Sand in My Boots Festival apparently taking its place, well, kind of. The Hangout Fest still has the license to hold the event. Organizers say they're working with Morgan Wallen to present his country festival in its place. And this is the final year on the current Hangout Fest producer's 10-year contract for the event. Some of the lineup and more information is expected to be released later this week. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Boeing may soon be back in business. The plane maker and its machinists union have reached a tentative agreement, which could end a strike that's halted most production in the past month. The proposal, negotiated with the 33,000 workers in the union, includes a wage increase of 35% over 4 years. The union plans to vote on the deal Wednesday. Starting next month, Microsoft will allow customers to build autonomous artificial intelligence agents in its latest move to tap the booming technology. Autonomous agents are programs that require little intervention, so they're capable of handling client questions and managing inventory. Some analysts believe such agents could allow companies to more easily monetize their AI capabilities. On Wall Street, futures are lower as the market starts another week at record highs. The Dow and the S&P 500 are both on their best winning streaks of the year, 6 weeks in a row. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The following
there
is
are
a test
approximately
of the
5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Woodley, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before pep talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm here before you today because we were experiencing price increases, some of that site work, some of that just sheer inflation and growth. The facility essentially is the same. It's 22,000 square feet. But the request before you today is for 800,000 more, and that is for the three largest counties. Walton County will have a slightly smaller request at $450,000.
So that's Craig Coffey. He is the head of DOMES, District 1 Medical Examiner. And the this was him telling the Okaloosa County Commission that the increase in the facility cost for the medical examiner facility off of Avalon has gone up from about $18 to about $22 million, about a $4 million increase, $800,000 for each of the three counties, Okaloosa, Escambia, and Santa Rosa, $450 for Walton, and then another million is going to come from the state. in this whole thing. I always do the math about that. Yeah, that's right. So, but on Friday, we had a really good conversation about the facility and about the medical examiner's office with the medical examiner, Dr. Dino Oleski, and Dan Schebler, who is the operations manager for Domes. So good to have you in studio, guys.
Correct.
You got to speak into the mic, man.
Happy to be here.
Do I need to remind you how to do it? You used to have to do this all the time.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And then Dr. Deanna Oleski, who is the District 1 medical examiner for all four counties. Dr. Deanna, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good to have you. Are you tired at all?
I am exhausted.
Yeah. It's fun being a doctor for four counties and a medical examiner and having two kids and a brand new one on at home. Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah.
No lack of sleep at all. Well, you know, you sleep when you later, right? Sleep when you later. Okay, so let's start with this. Why did the cost go up by $4 million?
Two main reasons, Andrew. One is the site work cost. It's a very large site. We have to develop about 6.5 acres to get back to the back portion that the county's deeded to us, that Santa Rosa County deeded to Domes. And then the second reason is just inflation. Construction costs have gone up. Are the two primary drivers.
So when you say site work, I'm assuming you mean like the road to get to the back of the lot kind of thing.
Land clearing, running utilities to the site,
okay.
building the road to get back to the site, all of those things. The stormwater retention, of course,
right,
as required by the land development code. So all of those things add up.
Okay, so you guys had wanted to be on the front of the property.
Did you
care? I mean, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, anything's better than the basement, right?
Correct.
All in one place in a new building,
okay.
Wherever it is. Yeah.
Okay. So, but in a way, like, I'm just trying to think of the sort of, you know, like, who's responsible for the price increase. And in some ways, if it's the expanded cost of the site work, that's a decision you guys didn't have any control over, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, but what about, is there any part of it that was like your folks underestimated or, you know, any part of it that's sort of... I mean, the counties are going to pay for this. It's not a surprise, but, you know, it's nice to know inflation sucks for everybody. The increased price of construction sucks for everybody. Was there a missed estimate by somebody, too?
I think throughout the project, and this has been going on for well over 2 years now,
yeah.
The project carried about a 4% escalation in construction costs, an assumption in that cost estimate, and what has actually occurred is about 15%.
Oh, okay.
So that's a 10% difference on an $18 million project adds up pretty quick.
Sure. And I know it seemed like the Okaloosa County vote went pretty clean. The Santa Rosa vote, surprisingly, all of a sudden James Calkins is a big fan for the first time in history.
5-0.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yes, sir.
Yay, finally. Now, who knows what's going to happen in my county? You know, we'll... wait and see. When is it going to be before Escambia?
I think just timing getting all four counties. We're going to Walton County in November.
Okay.
And because of the holidays, most of the boards only have one meeting in November, one
okay.
in December. We'll see Escambia County in December.
So it'll be a new board. Okay.
Correct.
Well, we don't have any idea what that's going to mean. But, you know, and we don't even know who's going to be on it because we still have one seat to decide, right, with Stephen Barry versus Josh Roberson. But sort of on that line, the one thing that got said in Santa Rosa was, but it better not be anymore, right? Colton Wright said that. I think, was it Sam Parker or Carrie? I forget who the other one said that, but Colton clearly said that. And you feel comfortable saying it's not going to be anymore?
I do, because this project, we have the construction manager, we have the construction team on board. So we're getting real-time pricing from the trades, from the subcontractors on these elements. So we're very confident. There is still contingency built into the project and into that price increase, but much more confident in where we are pricing-wise.
You have a groundbreaking next week,
yeah,
Dr. Deanna?
Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock Trump and Gateway.
What's that now?
Gateway.
Right, that's in the back of that property at Trump
Correct.
And Gateway. Correct. Wow. I know from recent history, in your opinion, it would be better to be apolitical. But you take what you get, right?
I'll take what I get. I even offered maybe we could be the site of the 200-plus-foot flagpole.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. And that's...
would be at the perfect juncture.
It would be a nice place for it at Trump and Gateway. That project's not happening, by the way. So one of the things that you guys have struggled with... Oh, just a quick fact thing. You had applied to be the District 2 medical examiner, right?
Correct.
Because that job was open. But you did not take on that responsibility, right?
I did not, no.
Okay, which is probably for sleep.
Yeah.
Mommyhood, probably better.
Life works out sometimes.
Sometimes a no is a blessing, right?
Yes.
But you have been, I know one of the challenges you've had is there just aren't medical examiners. And this was a challenge when we found you. This has been one of the conversations is to remind people that it's not an easy thing to find an ME. But also to staff, right? To find the doctoral staff that's going to work for you and do the autopsies. How are you doing on staff? Because I know this has been an on again, off again challenge.
It's been a slow progress. We currently have four doctors, including myself. They're all board certified forensic pathologists.
Okay.
And we just started a brand new training program, the first in Florida in the past 20 years.
Wow.
That's accredited by the ACGME in partnership with FSU to train the future. We only got about 700 of us in the country. We're producing only about 36 a year.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
There's 700 MEs and your replacement is 36 a year?
Correct. We're going to be in big trouble come 2055.
Wow. And the population's not shrinking.
No.
Oh, my God. Dan, you're a Navy guy in the past. That math doesn't add up to me.
The math doesn't math.
Wow.
more work, fewer doctors.
Okay, so now, pardon my ignorance of the medical field, but you go to medical school, then you do residency, you get your doctorate degree, and is it they've come to you as their residency, after residency? How does that work?
So they come to us once they're fully trained pathologists and fully licensed medical doctors. So,
okay.
Our current trainees actually has done his entire career as a regular hospital pathologist and
okay.
decided that he wanted to, quote, retire as a forensic pathologist because he happens to live in Gulf Breeze.
Okay.
And in order to help us out, which is what he wanted to do, and he had some interest in this, he decided the only way to do that is to go through forensic pathology training and fellowship again to start all over at 65.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
And
he looks more tired than me.
And relearn and be sharp and all that. Wow.
It is, but he's doing phenomenally. He really is. He's doing great. We're really happy to have him. But we've got a trainee right behind him too. So we're gonna keep training the future because we have no choice. Otherwise we're just even know what's going to happen.
People don't stop dying.
No. We all need death certificates signed. We need to testify in court. We got to do right by people, even in death.
Yeah, wow. So how many ME, or will you turn out ME capables, or will it be like they need to still go through an experience of, or will it be ready to be MEs when they come out of your program?
Come June 30th of 2024. Mm-hmm. Dr. Candela will be eligible to take his subspecialty boards and will be able to work in the state of Florida.
So how many a year will you produce? One or two?
One or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, one or two when it's only 36 a year, that's a big difference. So.
Correct. So we've got Miami, Tampa, and Broward County, and they're churning out seven total a year.
Big difference. Like for Florida, that means that for all the counties and ME's, do retire, you mm-hmm. know, and or leave. And so finding one means that you have to go out of the state, typically as you were from out of state, right? So,
correct.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's really great news. And FSU is your partner institution.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay.
Correct.
What's the caseload right now compared to, you know, your investigators and your doctors? I know sometimes you have backlogs. I mean, four counties does give you a little bit more population, so the numbers are usually more stable unless there's some major crisis or emergency or COVID or, you know, but how is your staff to workload and backlog right now?
So we had a couple of hiccups that we've been going through with the state and the vital statistics program. It went down in May online.
The software went down?
Yes, it went down in May. It went back online without anybody really quite knowing in mid-August. So we were down for three and a half months. Yeah.
And that's what you guys use to input all of your information and share with the state and
the funeral homes and everything and the hospitals. And it has been a low-key disaster. So we are still crawling out of that.
And that's everybody, the whole state system.
The whole state. We were over 1,000 death certificates behind at some point, not being able to process them because they were stuck. They were like literally stuck in space.
I mean, what were you doing? Like pen and paper?
Pen, paper, facts?
Oh, my God. to find somebody who's got one, right?
I don't even know how to use the fax machine.
Jeez. That's the first I'm hearing of this, and it sounds like it was a massive catastrophe for the state to deal with this problem.
And we're still recovering. Like, we are still behind. So currently that's where most of our energies is being spent, is to try to dig out of this hole and getting them processed as quickly as we can.
So, I'm extrapolating from what you've told me, but I'm guessing that means that loved ones have had to wait, that... I mean, evidence for trials has probably had to wait because I assume that's been affected. I mean, what hasn't been affected by that? Or is it? I mean, is it pretty global?
I think evidence or trials is probably the least of the worries.
Well, that's good.
You know, we typically know if it's a homicide.
Okay.
From the get-go, but
so you don't depend on that system for being able to present evidence.
It's more like the persons who may have died from their diabetes versus fentanyl.
Okay.
We get the results back, but we can't take the death certificate from pending to unpending or giving it a cause like they died from drugs or diabetes because it's stuck.
Wow.
In space, or we have to do it by paper and do this whole weird back and forth.
Were you the only state? Was Florida the only state that had this problem? Yes.
Yes. It was the Florida electronic death record system.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just connecting with something else. I know we had this recent report that opioid deaths in the U.S. declined by 12% last year, which is great news unless you believe it's declined because, well, all the opioid users are dying. I mean, at 100,000 a year, that's a lot. But if it also includes the data that's now backlogged for 3.5 months from Florida, that would seem to be underreporting. Am I missing? Is this connected or not connected?
No, because that was 23.
Oh, okay. It's old data.
We got that all done. We just, the Medical Examiners Commission in Florida just pushed out their annual report, I think yesterday. And overall, we've seen a decrease in death last as of 23, which is thankful. thankful.
So that's my question. Is that a...
That's real.
Thankfully,
that's
fewer people are dying, or is that, oh my God, there are less of them to die now?
I'm not sure we ask that question every day.
Okay. Okay. Because I would love to believe that it's law enforcement, reduced use, good messaging, and all that, but I...
There's also cynical
You can't kill 100,000 customers a year and not lose your customer base. I mean, that's the
correct.
Horrible, awful truth of it, right? So
I think in 21 was when we felt the real crush of fentanyl, and 22 kind of came down a little bit, but 23 was 12%, sounds about correct.
And you guys are the ones who determine that and provide that data that then those reports are based on.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. I have a completely different question that I knew what you guys were coming in and it had occurred to me. So you guys deal with death all the time. You deal with the effects. I mean, understanding death, all of that. I have never known, and I watch a lot of movies. I watch a lot of people die in movies, right? Because that's a very common thing. I have never felt comfortable knowing how long it actually takes somebody to die when they suffer a life-threatening, like they get shot. You know, mm-hmm. You see everything from he's got a belly wound, he's going to survive in, 12 hours, or, he got shot in the hand and he dies. I mean, I have to imagine.
I hope not.
No, but I'm saying I assume there's no realism because TV lies about everything, but if somebody gets shot, let's say in a major organ,
mm-hmm.
How long does it actually take for them to expire, typically? Or is there a typically?
It depends. Even if you've got drugs in your system, of how long that is going to take. Because if you've got cocaine, well, cocaine's going to help you if you've been shot because it will help constrict your blood vessels.
Okay.
But there's video. You see somebody who's been shot through the heart, they'll make it about 45 paces and then just drop.
Wow.
It depends, Andrew. That's
okay.
What I say on the stand.
Okay, so I shot that bad guy one time and he's out of commission, out of the action. That's not realistic. But people getting shot 14 times and surviving for 2 days is also not very realistic.
Oh, no, I think if it's a 22.
Oh, okay. And it's not vital organs?
Yeah, I mean... Okay. Yeah, I've definitely seen somebody in Detroit that was shot at least 8 times that didn't even make it to any vital organs.
Wow. All right. Well, great. I feel I still don't know.
I feel like down here in these parts.
That's not as common.
We don't really use 22s.
No. Who owns a 22? Dr. Deanna Oleski, she's the medical examiner for the estate, for the District 1. Dan, I have a question for you. What does S stand for in domes? Because I know District 1 Medical Examiner, but every time I say domes, I feel like I'm telling a lie because I don't know what the S is.
It stands for support.
Not service?
Not service, not services, support.
Who came up with that?
I did.
Dan Shebler and Deanna Oleski, thank you so much for this. But seriously, you guys do incredibly important law enforcement work every day, work reassuring families, working finding bad guys and bringing them to trial. And I genuinely appreciate the work, and I'm genuinely excited that you guys are going to be groundbreaking on a facility that we're eventually going to have you move into in Santa Rosa County. So thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I love Dan and Deanna so much, and yet I will also say this, and I think Dan will laugh when I say this if he's listening to the rebroadcast this morning. Dan is off the creative team. He's off the acronym team. No, Dan, no. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get good advice from somebody who's going to guide you through whatever comes up and can tell you what's normal. Like, that might not seem like the kind of thing that you need for a realtor, but you know, knowing what's normal, especially in a shifting marketplace, is really valuable, right? As obviously interest rates have been shifting, or maybe not shifting as much as we had hoped, or you know, are investors getting back in or not getting back in? What is the market going to do? And you know, how is hurricane going to affect home insurance, and how does home insurance affect your home? And then the demand by a buyer, let's say, if you're selling, to, you know, ask for a new roof or a new water heater, or for you, if you're buying a home, to ask for a new air conditioning unit, or to inspect the pipes of underneath the sink to see if they're rusty and corroded, and will that interfere with you being able to get insurance for the home? Like, you might think, if you haven't bought or sold a home in a long time, you might think, well, that's crazy. No, that's what happens today. So you need to think about that and make sure that you get somebody who knows how to tell you, you know, no, you don't need to replace that for them. Somebody else will come along. Or, yeah, you're probably going to have to take that hit. I mean, that's the kind of advice. And also somebody who's going to get you all the way through to closing and navigate all the hurdles. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrenke Realty. 175 homes sold last year, 130 already this year. So they have the experience from having done it enough times to help you through all of those challenges. 723-9158.
Experience the captivating musical journey with Celtic Thunder in their brand new show, Odyssey. Join Damian McGinty, Emmett Cahill, Neil Byrne, and Ronan Scollard as they explore a fusion of traditional and contemporary Celtic music, a mix of great new songs and beloved fan favorites. In Odyssey, Celtic Thunder continues their musical evolution.
Get your tickets now for Celtic Thunder at the Sanger Theatre on October 23rd.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
That tickles.
Want to keep it moving here. Not quite in field goal range yet. That may be an offside on the defense. It is. Free play. Stokes is going to fire it. He's got Brown. If Brown catches it, he's got a touchdown. He does. Argos are in the end zone. Touchdown, Argos. Damani Brown, what do you do when a guy drops the ball? Throw it right back to him again.
Yeah, go back to him. That's absolutely right. Damani Brown picking up that touchdown, 39 yards for Marcus Stokes for UWF Saturday at Chuan, which was, what's the word I want, a total slaughter. it was, Juwan's not good.
Three receivers bunched out on the right side of the formation. The snap is low. Stokes is going to have to get away from pressure over there. He's got it. He's got a man. He could have run for the first down. That one tipped, knocked around, and caught in the back of the end zone, but we're waiting on a decision. Was he in the end zone or not? One of the Argos has it in his hand. I didn't see arms go up. Argos are saying it's a touchdown. The officials don't seem to have signaled anything. Red flag flies. They're going to say touchdown, and then that's going to bring the red flag in from Coach Paul Johnson on the sideline for Chuan.
And so it was reviewed and it was a touchdown. They wind up winning this game 35-6. It was weird, though, because they were up 28-6 in the first half and scored only one touchdown the rest of the game. It was kind of an odd one. Like, the offense kind of didn't do anything in the second half. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline
over
for
the
us. David,
that happened.
Oh, he's doing Cat Country News. That's no big deal. Yeah, so it was just kind of odd because they kind of stopped playing. The offense stopped playing. And, you know, not that Chuan did anything on their side. That really didn't happen. But still, it was an odd game for UWF to win. Oh, Illinois beat Michigan for the first time since 2009. Yeah, buddy. Yeah.